Church, how are you? That's good, that's good. Warm welcome to anyone visiting here, particularly over this Holy Week as well. It's great to have you with us. And so before we get into the word this morning, why don't we pray? Father, we just thank you for Holy Week. We thank you that we're able to remember your triumphant entrance into Jerusalem this day. We thank you that we're able to come together on Friday and remember your death. And Lord, we look forward to next Sunday where we remember and we rejoice on Easter Sunday. So Father, I thank you for each one that you have drawn into your house this morning to hear your word. Lord God, I'm asking that you would go before me and my words would be your message this morning. So Lord, we just pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So welcome, as I said, to Holy Week, church. For those here a little unfamiliar, this is the week that saw Jesus enter into his final days of his life here on earth, most commonly recalled through his death and his resurrection. So welcome to this special Sunday that we remember Palm Sunday, which begins Jesus' final earthly days. Oh, I'm all over the place with my notes. It's also a moment that was unusual, countercultural. It was countercultural in terms of the powerful authorities of the day. It didn't look the same, as Tobin has already mentioned. It was significantly lacking in pomp and ceremony. You see, Jesus' triumphant entrance into Jerusalem had no bells nor whistles. And compared with standard processions by the Roman authorities in Jerusalem, this at best was a poor man's procession. There were no known announcements advising his entrance. Word seemed to spread organically through the people. There was no hype nor banners being waved by the disciples as he rode into town. No trumpets, no funfare. No funfare, no fanfare, sorry. So, that's a good start. So church, this morning I want to just highlight to you some basic principles that were happening in the background. Elements that were happening probably behind the scenes of the Palm Sunday story. Because it's important that we have some accuracy in our perception of the day. And it's obviously, as I've mentioned, days, just days, leading up to Jesus' crucifixion. So as we paint the picture, it was a day that Jesus entered into Jerusalem on a colt of a donkey, to the cheers and adulation of the crowds that lined the pathway into the city. It's a moment that is steeped in biblical symbolism. It's an event that fulfilled both prophecy and scripture from many, many years prior. It's a day that is recalled in all four of the Gospels. Such was its importance. As I say, it was countercultural. It was unusual. So much so that as Jesus entered in to Jerusalem, people asked, "Who is this man?" You see, the people, they came. They came from their homes. They came from nearby places. And as Tobin's already mentioned, they waved palm branches as a sign of honor, and it's mentioned in John 12:13, and that's where the name Palm Sunday originates from. They laid their cloaks before the procession, before Jesus on his colt. They laid their cloaks on the ground to honor him, as it says in Mark 11:8. You know, such was the uproar, it caused Jesus' entry to become a public event that was not of his generating. So let's dive into the Bible and we'll read through the narrative of Matthew 21, verses 1 to 11. It is very similar to the recollection that Tobin brought earlier. It says, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went as Jesus had instructed them. We got there. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? The crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. It's important that we understand just some of the background to this event, both socially and politically, in order to understand just how loaded the actions that occurred on Palm Sunday were. They shouted, Hosanna, Hosanna, just as we have done this morning. Today we commonly use this word as a word of praise, but it's worth considering the root of this word, which is Hebrew, and it means to save or rescue. The people were literally crying out for a savior. Someone who would lead them into a new dawn. Someone who would bring a new authority to overcome the rule of Rome. This surely was the man. Finally, he had arrived to save his people. So when we read that again, those verses from verse 9 onwards, Hosanna can be read, save us, Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Rescue us in the highest heaven. And we'll touch on this point again later. This moment came at a very significant time for the people of Israel. Palm Sunday is the first day of the festival of Passover, a celebration of the Israelites' exodus and freedom from Egypt, a celebration they acknowledged God's favor and protection over them. You can read more about that in the book of Exodus. In high contrast, the governing authorities of the day were Roman, a powerful empire with the means and military power to quash and quell any uprising. And when they did, find uprising, it usually occurred during festivals. And here we had their perfect storm. Uprising, this man, this unknown quantity, his name was Jesus, riding in unusually on a colt on the first day of Passover. This is why Palm Sunday represented an enormous challenge to the rule from Rome. It was a big deal because it caused the ruling authority to sit up and take notice. The man known as Jesus had made a statement so significant that they surely could not look away. Now, I want to touch upon the prophetic narrative of Jesus's arrival into Jerusalem, which is quite amazing in itself. Verses 4 and 5 in Matthew 21, they state this: "This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." This is a direct reference to the writings of the prophet Zechariah around 500 years prior, who speaks of the coming of the king. 500 years prior. Within this prophecy, we often overlook the nature of a foal of a donkey, because primarily we look at the fact that Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a foal of a donkey, and that ticks the box in terms of the prophecy from Zechariah. We should also note that this animal had never been ridden on. It says that in the Gospel of Mark. And therefore, riding in on this colt should have been nigh on miraculous in itself. Nevertheless, Jesus rode into Jerusalem just as Zechariah had prophesied all those years before. So, church, with this as our backdrop, I hope it sets you up. This is just the beginning of Holy Week. And obviously, it's the context in which we enter into Friday's Good Friday service, which just, by the way, starts at... Oh. Those of you that are laughing, I know I'll see you walking through the door at 9:30. It's all right. It's good. So with all this information, all this symbolism, all of the social and political implications of this day, how can we apply these passages to our own lives? Is there any way we can do that? And this is where I want to draw us back to that word Hosanna. Save us. Rescue me. You see, they cried that out to Jesus on that day. They looked to him because he was the one they'd been waiting for. I want to focus on that very cry. Save me, Lord. Rescue me, Father. That those in attendance made that day, just as we do so often in our own lives. Tell me, have you ever been there when life gets difficult? When circumstances get the better of you? I don't know about you, but I know I find myself crying out, hey Lord, help me, save me, rescue me, when times are tough. And you know what? This in itself is not a problem. And in many ways, it confirms our dependence on Christ. But how do we react? How do we respond when we don't see the result we are after? How do we react when we feel our prayers have not been answered? How do we respond when our hope is diminished and our spirit is crushed? There's a lesson in this that we can see through the events of Palm Sunday. You see, we read the story of Palm Sunday and Jesus' triumphant entrance in the full knowledge of what is just days away in the life of Jesus. A brutal, brutal death, as per the request of the same people that had cheered and sang out, "Hosanna," just days before. And there's a school of thought that says, how could they do that? How could they praise him on Sunday and sentence him to death on Friday? How could they not see the Son of God right in front of their very eyes? How could they not see his power, his miracles, his great love, his teaching, and more? How? But I wonder how each of us would have reacted in that situation in those days before Jesus' death. This was the man who fulfilled scriptures, raised Lazarus from the dead, caused the blind to see. The man they laid the clothes down for and waved palms at on this day. The man that came in peace. He didn't bring force. The man that came with love, not physical strength or intimidation as his key. You see, when we change the perspective of those questions that I just asked, there lies a deeper basis for us all to consider. And let me show you. Instead of asking, how could they do that? I ask, how could I do that? How could I deny Jesus? How could I praise him on a Sunday and sentence him to death a few days later? How can I not see the Son of God? How can I not see his miracles, his power, his love, his teaching? How? I wonder, church, if that would resonate with you. You see, they laid their clothes down for him and his colt to stride over. In this moment, they realized that this man could change their lives for the better. They saw his benefits. They saw his benefits. Oh, is this going to come off? I'm so hot up here. I see your benefits, Jesus. Ah, oh, Tobes, I'm laying this on the ground, man. It's pretty dirty. I see your benefits, Jesus. And if we're talking about benefits, I'm in. I'm there. Oh, you want me to throw my shirt on the ground for you, Jesus? I'm there. There's benefits to be had. Oh, you're fulfilling the scriptures, are you, Jesus? Then I'll wave a palm. I'll honor you. I see your benefits. I've been waiting for you. My people have been oppressed by the Roman authorities, but you are the one that we've been waiting for. You're going to change the game for us. You're going to bring us back to the top of the pile. If that's who you are, then I'm in. I'm in. And I'll pay you lip service. I will ask you to save me. I will ask you to rescue me. I will throw my clothes on the ground for you to trample over. I submit to you, Lord, because I see your benefits. And I can't wait to experience them. The people of the day, they thought this man was the man who would come to overthrow the power and the might of the Roman authorities. But those of you that have read your Bible or have been around church for a little while, you'd have heard the words, Jesus' ways are not our ways. Jesus' method was always a different way. And despite all of his teaching and actions, miracles and wonders, the people, they did not see him overpowering the Roman authorities. They did not see his kingship at work. And surely this was the time. This was your moment, Jesus. Now's the time, Jesus, to stand up and show them that you are the powerful one. Here he comes. Are you ready? Are you waving your palms? What's he riding in on? Doesn't look like, is that a powerful horse? Is that, what is that? It's a small donkey. He's the powerful one, right? He's the one we've been waiting for, right? This is unusual. But okay, if the benefits are there, come on, let's wave. You see, Jesus, while the crowd stirred, he didn't look like that authority, like that powerful king that day. And over the next few days, as you are aware, the people turned on him. Jesus did not flex his muscles and rally his troops for the fight. And I wonder if that's any different for us today. You see, we come into church on a Sunday morning and we shout Hosanna. We cry out to be rescued from the situations and circumstances that life throws at us. You see, we make these public declarations of our dependency on God, but then when we don't see the transformations that we hope for in the timing that we deem suitable, we forget that he is actually in control. Forgive me, church. I'm not pointing the finger at you, because this is a truth that I have to understand. This is a truth that, oh, Craig, you need to be patient. And I'm like, I got a better idea. Oh, you got to allow this to happen in God's timing and in God's strength. Oh, hang on. You know what? I got a better idea. I don't know about you, church, but I know there is a constant tension in me to do it my way and not his. To do it in my own strength and not his. Jesus is still in control. You know, when we don't see him rescuing us from our trials, we don't realize that he is at work. You know, just as those in Jerusalem failed to see it all those years ago, does the cry of our heart on a Sunday truly represent the rest of our week? Does the cry of our heart truly represent the rest of our lives? I implore you, church. This is a wonderful, wonderful day to consider the state of our hearts. Because whether you realize it or not, Jesus is at work and he is victorious. You see, how willing are we to lay our clothes at his feet with the expectation of our circumstances changing? But if my circumstances don't change, Lord, there might be some resentment. If I don't receive the answer that I'm after here, Lord, tick tock, I'm waiting. Do we allow a root of bitterness to enter into our lives? You see, as I read through the scriptures of Palm Sunday, and there's lots, I'm not so sure that we are any different to those that waved the palm branches all those years ago. But our God remains so faithful. So, so faithful to those that love him. He saw in a matter of days in that city of Jerusalem, people cheer him, wave him in, and our fickleness just days later. This is not the product that I bought. It's useless to me. He's probably not the guy. We thought he was the guy, he's not the guy. And I discard it. You see, the difference that we have is that we know how the story ends. We actually know. We have this great book that tells us how the story ends. I have a lot of compassion for the people in Jerusalem of the day that might have got confused or caught up with the emotions that were running through them. Hope and disappointment and all these decisions to be made. And suddenly we're at crucify him. See, I have compassion because I feel like they are us. And they didn't know how the story would end. They didn't know what was to come after Friday. And we have this great benefit of the Bible telling us exactly how it plays out. We know that Jesus wins. We know that he is victorious. We know that even in death, it could not hold him. This morning, Jesus, just like that very first Palm Sunday, is crying out for us to trust him. I'm coming on a donkey, guys. It's not going to look the way the other leaders look. It's not going to look the way the other authorities look. I'm coming in on a donkey because I love you, because I want to be around you. I'm not being raised up on a big and powerful horse. I'm coming in low and humble. And there's no pomp and ceremony. There's no trumpet call. But you got to trust me. You got to trust me that I'm in control. I know what I'm doing. I have a plan. Jesus is in control. And he's asking us to trust him. That theme of trust runs all the way through the Palm Sunday story. Have you ever considered the disciples under instruction from Jesus? Hey, you know what? Go over there and there'll be a couple of donkeys. And if anyone asks you, don't explain to them. Just say the Lord needs them. I wonder if the disciples asked Jesus any questions around that. Because we read it and we become so familiar to it, we almost lose sight of how ridiculous that concept was. Go get the donkey, just tell them the Lord needs it. Who's the Lord? Who are we going to meet? Even those two, from the very outset of the story, had to trust him. Just as he fulfilled the scriptures through his humble entrance in Jerusalem, it didn't look anything like the powerful rulers of the day. It didn't look like they were expecting it. The people had to trust him. And he stood before Pilate. Just days later, he stood in front of those that opposed him. And surely this was his moment to rally the troops, to start the fight. But he didn't. He came with peace and calm. And once again, he called us to trust him. And just as it says in the book of Proverbs, the same is true of the first Palm Sunday as it is today. It says in Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him and he will make your path straight. Church, we can trust him in all things. And if anything, that proverb, if we remember it, we don't praise him on a Sunday and forget him on a Friday. We don't shout, rescue me, Lord, today, and tomorrow act out of resentment or disappointment that he wasn't as powerful as we hoped him to be. That's when we look into our own understanding. That's when we try and do things in our own strength. You know, in so many different ways, Palm Sunday and the days thereafter, they serve as a great, great reminder for us not to lean on our own understanding. And I want to encourage each of you today that this is the day that hope rode into town on the colt of a donkey. He was in control then, and he is in control now. Lean not on your own understanding. Submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Can I ask the worship team to come back up? Hey, church, you know, it's a very, very simple, simple truth this morning. I hope you understand that that procession of Jesus' triumphant entrance, it was not a nice, lovely, let's just wave palms around event. It was so loaded for the Jewish people. It was so political. It brought Jerusalem to an absolute hotbed. It forced the Roman authorities to take some kind of action. And the lesson for us is right before us. Do we trust in the Lord? Because Palm Sunday, my goodness, did we not make a spectacle of it? I'm yet to see the gospel where Jesus is riding in, high-fiving everyone, saying, there, check me out. He just rode on in. And we were the ones that made the spectacle of it. We were the ones that cheered him in. We were the ones that said, Lord, save me. Lord, rescue me. We were the ones, not him. He came in on a donkey. So, church, consider your heart today. Sunday, this Sunday, any given Sunday, when we come together publicly, that's all well and good. But do we trust him in every circumstance, in every situation, regardless of the timing, regardless of what we see on this earth? Because you and I both know we don't always see the answers that we hope for on this earth. But I do know God is in control. So, church, just as we come to a close this morning, I don't know what situations you've got in your life. I don't know what circumstances you're going through. But if you keep coming in here on a Sunday and saying, God, I hand it over to you, and you find yourself, sometimes like me, just grabbing it straight back on Monday morning, I'd like to pray for you. I believe that there's something here this morning. The Spirit wants to minister to those of you that are going through trial, disappointment, those things, those issues that, man, I keep bringing them before you, and I can't see your answer. If that's you this morning, and if you're comfortable enough, while we sing, I just ask you to come out. I'd love to pray for you. I believe the encouragement of the Lord is for you today. That he is in control. He is in control. And so as we sing Hosanna again, and I know it's an exaltation, it's a song of exaltation, it's a song of great praise. But if you need the Lord to rescue you from a situation, if you need him to save you from a circumstance in your life, come out and make your declaration that it's just not a Sunday thing. I'm not going to forget you come Friday, Lord. I'm not going to do that. I know how the story ends. I know you're in control and I know that you're victorious. Stand before him this morning and lay down far more than just a jacket, just a cloak. Lay your burden upon him this morning. The Lord is in control. You know, we were in the prayer room this morning and one of our elders got up and he said, "The battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. And you do not stand alone and you do not fight in your own strength. You just stand firm. Just stand firm and let the Lord do what the Lord can do. Let him take control. You just stand firm. You just stand firm. He's the victorious one. He's the only one to sing Hosanna to. He's the only one that can save us. He's the only one that can rescue us. He's in control and he has a plan and a purpose in every season for the good of those that love him. Trust him, church. That story in Palm Sunday, it didn't look the way they wanted it to look. Maybe it doesn't look the way you thought it would look. He was in control throughout. So why don't we stand, church, and why don't we sing? And if that's you this morning, you want to come out, come and lay your burden in front of Jesus.